You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. When Craig Collins and I started working together a couple years ago, I had this idea that, I mean, we want to promote theater, but I thought it would be fun to have wrap parties and have the actors, the directors, whoever wanted to come in and join us and let us know how the run went. I thought it'd be kind of fun to give you an opportunity to share that side of it. And, you know, George Karzis from the Gale Street Inn has been such a big champion of the Gift Theater, which is in the neighborhood where I grew up in Jefferson Park. And he said, like, would you please have Michael Patrick Thornton on? And I was like, oh my God, enough with this guy. And we are thrilled to have you in studio. Thank you so much, Mike. Can I call you Michael? Do I have to say MPT?
No, you do the full name.
Michael Patrick Thornton?
No, you can call me Mike.
I'll say it really fast and people will be very angry at me.
Yes. No, thank you for having me, and thanks, George, for advocating as always so beautifully for the Gift.
Well, he does, and it was remiss on my part. As I mentioned in my email, it's a long overdue invitation, not just for the Grapes of Wrath, but all the great work you're doing in the neighborhood.
We're cool now. You have my cast and
friends
liquored up.
I can't.
So much cheese.
Yes, yeah, all the cheese. Thank you, David, from Italy, for sending over that tray of food. That was from Italy, and he sends his regards as well. Cool. And congratulations, because it was sold out. So you guys are the Grapes of Wrath, first tell us how the Gift Theater started.
We started in Iowa, really, at the University of Iowa in about 1998. We had the idea for it, and the idea was as simple as, what if we found a group of people that we loved and we trained together and we never gave up on each other? And the idea initially wasn't even to do plays. That kind of came at the school at Steppenwolf, where we were applying all this great physical theater that we learned in Iowa to text. And we were like, oh, we can actually combine both these worlds. And then we wanted to put it in an underserved neighborhood. So, of course, our first show was at the University of Chicago, very impoverished demographic. And you know, we rented around like every theater company for about 3 years. And then Will and I said, that's enough. This is not what we want to do. And we sat down over a bottle of wine and we ended it. And we said, we're not producing until we find a space in a neighborhood that's starving for something.
You know?
And ironically, we found it in my neighborhood, in Jefferson Park.
And you grew up in Jeff Park. Where'd you go to high school?
St. Pat's.
Okay.
Yeah,
I went to Lane Tech. I took two buses and a train to get out of the neighborhood.
I took...
Because my choice was Taft, was our neighborhood school.
Of course, yeah.
What were you going
to
say?
What was so weird was that only after we moved into the Gift in about 2005, we found a black and white photo of my grandpa, who was a beat cop, standing in the vestibule of 4802 North Milwaukee in like 1964 on a snowy evening. So that seemed like a pretty good omen that we were on the right track.
No, you were definitely in the right place. And again, thank you for bringing the theater into the neighborhood. And it is constantly sold out because people have subscriptions. They want to do, you know, they want to do something in the neighborhood. Because a lot of times, and I want to talk to the rest of our guests too. We have the casting director, M. Joy, in studio with us as well.
Hello.
And the cast of The Grapes of Wrath, we have Martel. And by the way, what was your Twitter handle, Mr. Martel?
Yeah, that's Mr.
Let me find. Hold on a second. Let me get your. Hold on a second. I got to find a cord.
Going to have 100,000 followers by an hour from now.
Let me see if this is real. Let me see. Talk right now. Let me see if it's all set.
Is that, test,
yep,
test,
there we go.
Test.
You're all set. Thank you,
Mr. Martel.
Mr. Martel. Should I have to call you that for the rest of the show?
I mean, if that jives with you, that's
Mr. Martel. Where are you from originally?
Philly.
From Philly? I just got back from Philly this morning.
Oh, you better stop.
No, I won't. I was at the Reading Terminal yesterday and had Barrett's ice cream.
Well,
I did.
Right.
I did do it. It was fantastic. I have to say, Philly is one of the, and I love my city, some great food here. Underrated food city is Philly. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Cheesesteak, fine, whatever, but all the rest of the food, fresh and really, and great servers, too. It's a great restaurant town.
Oh, you had great
town.
Servers? Yeah. I'm happy you had good
Okay. The East Coast is a little rough. Philly's a little rougher on the edges. And so whenever I met someone nice, I took a selfie with them.
So you got two pictures, right?
Exactly. Both at Barrett's. Yeah, really great food. And Diego, where are you from? F. Diego.
That's it.
I'm sorry. No, that's going to stick just because I keep saying it over and over again.
I know. You're going to drive people wild on Twitter. I'm trying to find it. I grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
Born and raised in Chicago.
What neighborhood?
I bounced around.
Okay.
I bounced around. I went to high school in the Verbs, though. I went to high school in Niles West.
Niles. Okay, so you ended up on the north, mm-hmm. in the north part of the city. Well, outside of the city.
And then I came back to college at Roosevelt right over here.
That's a great school. I think that's another, speaking of underrated, I think that people, you know, because of all, like, they think University of Chicago, even UIC, but Roosevelt's a great place.
Especially as a conservatory. The conservatory program there has grown and changed so much since I've been there that, like, they're really striving to, like, be a contender in the conservatory scene.
Well, and Martell, I didn't mean to not ask you, where did you study theater?
Oh, I did undergrad at the University of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and then shipped off to Houston, Texas.
Do you have to ship from Pittsburgh? Is that how they do it?
It's the only way.
You sort of deployed? They deploy you from there?
It's a long river.
Yeah, it really is. Now, why Texas?
Oh, I when I auditioned for graduate programs, because mm-hmm. I got my master's at the University of Houston,
mm-hmm.
I met this guy kind of hanging out in the hallway, sort of skulking around, and he walked up to me and said, "Hey, buddy, you want to audition?" I said, "Okay, great."
Did he know you were in the theater department?
Is he in a band?
He's just asking people to audition. Yeah, right.
is that how casting directors do it? They just see somebody.
Tell our secrets.
This was at IRTA's, the like United Graduate School auditions and everything. But so I said, "Yeah, sure." And then I auditioned for him, and it was one of like the greatest auditions I had at the time. So I was kind of hopped up on that. Like, I need to study with this man, and that's how it happened.
Oh, that's a great moment.
That's great.
That's wonderful. And Jay, where are you from?
I was born in Kansas, but I didn't stay there for two years.
Why do you sound so apologetic about it?
I was born in Kansas, but don't hold that against me.
It's not my favorite state, but I bounced around and moved around a lot as a kid.
And do you have a place that you can say you're from, or just do you like saying from?
If I had to say, am I from somewhere? It's Michigan. I did most of my growing up in Michigan.
What part?
A little town called Mason. It's about 20 minutes outside of Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what brought you to Chicago?
Acting.
Acting.
Yeah.
And did you come here for school?
I went to Illinois State University for undergrad for theater, and then
I was normal.
What's that?
How is normal Illinois?
That's the most haunted town I've ever been in. There's nothing normal about it.
What do you mean by haunted?
The apartment I lived in was haunted.
Okay, come on. Okay,
I'm serious. I'm serious.
We got to live here for a second, Jay.
What's that?
What do you mean that it was haunted?
So I lived in the studio apartment the whole time I was in Bloomington Normal. Or not a studio, like a one bedroom. And it was...
But the ghost had the bedroom, and you could never go in there. So
I thought this was a really cool fact about the apartment when I moved in, and then things quickly changed that you would walk out of the front door of the apartment to the parking lot, and 5 feet past the parking lot was one of the largest cemeteries in Bloomington Normal. And then there were just a handful of experiences in that apartment that, you know.
So you started suspecting that perhaps the building was built over part of what was formerly the cemetery.
Yeah, I don't know. But Bloomington Normal is also, and not trying to throw shade, I love my time
throw
there,
the
but
shade.
It's a strange town. It's just, there's a weird energy to that place.
And did you end up finishing up there? Or were you like,
I did, absolutely, yeah.
And then you ended up moving to Chicago?
The day after I graduated.
You're like, I know where I'm headed.
Yeah.
And MJ, where are you from?
I'm originally from, okay. I usually say Seattle, Washington, but that's a lie because I'm from Renton, Washington, which is 20 minutes away from Seattle, but nobody knows what that is.
So that's all right. We'll take Renton, Washington. That's great.
Yeah, I went to grade school by a Kmart. So,
By a Kmart?
Yeah. So
convenient.
Got all your supplies right next door.
All the blue light shopping.
I love that.
Exactly.
Do you still go to Kmart? Does it give you flashbacks of grade school?
I really don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I did live by the Sears on Lawrence for a while, so it was similar.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and then they ended up being owned by the same company. Yeah, I know. Weird. Then that seemed like too much of a marriage of weird past.
A little too much.
I like the idea of your relationship with department stores. As you got old.
That's how you can track my journey.
And then I met Target and I never looked back. We've been together ever since.
But right now it's me and Mariano's. But yes. Okay. Yeah.
You have arrived. We are hanging out with the cast of The Grapes of Wrath and the ensemble of The Gift Theater. Right?
They're not all here, though.
How many ensemble members do you have at the Gift Theater?
32, if we count the dead guy.
Thank you for not bringing everybody, including the dead guy.
He may be here talking about ghosts.
Yeah. That's what triggered that.
Jay's our ensemble member in the room, and then Diego and Martell were guest artists, and And MJoy does casting for us and also runs the Chicago Inclusion Project.
Oh, wonderful. When we come back, we'll find out how the run was and find out if you have anything that happened. I'm sure there are stories because every night is a different performance, depending on your audience. If you have any stories you want to tell me, let me know.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, feel free to share because they don't know. The audience won't, they're not listening going, that was me. You know, tell me about all the cell phones that went off. No, and the good stuff too. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by Michael Patrick Thornton, who is the creator. What do you call yourself? Creator, mastermind behind the GIFT Theater?
No, not the mastermind. The co-founder and artistic director.
Co-founder? Okay, fine. Co-founder. I have to share the title with somebody.
I can't call myself the mastermind.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I will. Mastermind Michael Patrick Thornton. And what is the other co-founder's name?
Will Nedved. Will's a playwright and a screenwriter who lives in Los Angeles, and Will and I met at the University of Iowa.
And you do a lot of work in Los Angeles as well, yes?
I did.
You did?
I'm washed up now.
What do you mean you washed up?
Well, I did get recognized in the basement.
He totally did.
Right, by a private practice fan today.
Yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Taking the elevator up. No, I did. I did a TV show on ABC called Private Practice for a couple of years. Yeah, and then I just did a great movie directed by Erica Weiss, who's our ensemble member, who also directed Grapes of Wrath, and Caitlin Parrish, called The View from Tall, which premiered at the LA Film Festival.
Oh, lovely.
So that's
what you call being washed up then. Is that
yeah. I keep busy. Well, you know, people aren't knocking on the door for people in wheelchairs to work on TV and film. So you kind of have to make your own way a little bit. So.
Well, but the thing is to cut through that regardless isn't easy anyway. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
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 It's a lot of work. And yeah. And so let's talk about the Grapes of Wrath, which is the production you guys have just wrapped on Sunday. Again, I went online. George kept telling me, and I'm like, I can't. I'm one of those people, I'm like, I have to. I don't know I can do something until the day of. So then when I tried on one day, it was gone. I mean, it was 2 weeks out. It was already sold out.
You should just subscribe, and then we'll get you in.
I will do that. Hold on a second. Let me get online. How do I subscribe? What's the website?
TheGiftTheater.org.
And it's Theatre. Yes.
Theatre.
Yes. I have to. Otherwise, will it autofill? Will it autofill?
We bought both of them. So yes. If you type in the other one, it'll go to it.
And those of us who spell it the other way, the less classy way, appreciate that.
It's okay. We're in Jefferson Park for a reason.
I know. That's the thing. I mean, Jeff Park is it's a working class neighborhood. A lot of cops and firefighters.
It is, sure. But, I grew up there, and anyone who grows up in Chicago and wants to be in the arts, I think it's the same story that your heroes move away.
Right.
And, if we never want to read another article about are the arts dying, is theater dying, then I think we'd be well served by people making the decision to grow their arts organizations in neighborhoods that people kind of don't care about or forgot about.
And their art in general, their skills. There was a comic in here earlier, Kristen Toomey, who had posted, I'm tired of people treating Chicago like a starter wife.
Right,
because everyone wants to go to New York, to LA. I remember when I decided I do stand-up comedy, and I told a comic that I was staying. She's like, well, Chicago's kind of like the high school for comedy. I know. Yeah, I mean, there you can go and you can get work and you can find other ways to make a living, but this is always where I try to make my home. Mm-hmm. Do you guys, is Chicago, I mean, I'm not saying is it a destination, but do you feel that you can grow, especially with a place like the GIFT Theater giving you an opportunity or other theaters like that throughout Chicago? Diego? F. Diego?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's
Diego. It's an off-air joke, and I apologize.
No, yes,
to
yeah.
you, your family, everyone.
Off-air
that you
joke.
Know
I'm on board. I'm All on right. board. What's it like doing theater in this town? It's a great town. Theaters pop up always because people in this town are desperate to tell stories.
Yes.
And that is a very important piece of how things are done in this town. Like you find people who are telling a story that you get behind and you invest yourself in it because you want to be a part of it. I mean, nobody in this game is doing it for the money. Like,
no, really?
You want to tell... Yeah, them live theater, big bucks. Nope.
Well, do you feel that the pressure of having to go on audit? I mean, if you audition for commercials and things like that, or, whatever, now there's so much television and film being done here, do you have agents or are you registered, with your Shirley Hamiltons or your Stewart or whatever?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
definitely.
You end up in a room with people who look like you. My favorite's always, for female comedians, it's always, we needed a Tina Fey type. And you walk in there, everyone's got glasses. It's a churn and burn, right?
Yeah.
And it's always, it's a numbers thing, too.
It's a numbers thing, and it's, you have to fill a very specific role yes. for people sometimes, and sometimes... Well,
it's also a little clicky.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's kind of the thing, too, is you have to, like, find that. Because with... Yes, MJoy?
Oh, no, yeah. He looked like he was going to say
no, I'll yes. kick it to MJoy.
Well, no, I just think... I think Chicago is a destination, and actually,
exactly.
And like, yeah, it's clicky because that's the nature of the industry. But,
right.
But also, I think less so here than in yes. LA or oh, New York, where you have absolutely. To be very much your type and expressively so.
Right.
Whereas I feel like people come to Chicago for on-camera stuff, but also theater stuff to find people who look like people and who are people. And yeah, you do end up in rooms that. Of your kind,
right?
Because right. that's the nature,
and that's changing a little bit, though, isn't it?
Much yeah. much better than it has been,
right?
Which isn't saying much, but I do think that like Chicago is a destination for that reason that people are hungry for the real, you know?
Yeah. And when you decide to tell a story, the Grapes of Wrath. Is there an element of what story do you want to tell now? You know, how does this fit with what's going on culturally,
100%. Yeah, I think my job, you know, my job is to ask questions through the form of theater that mm-hmm. we're interested in and we don't know the answers to. You know, my job isn't to present the audience with any kind of finger wagging didactic. This is how the world is, you know. When I was reading for that season, we had already had Michael Brown and Eric Garner killed. And so you try to think, you know, what can you do with your tiny theater in this tiny part of Chicago and, you know, North America on this planet to talk about what's going on? And what we found at The Gift over 15 years is that audiences respond better when you hold up the mirror in a way that is framed in a classic, mm-hmm. right? So there's a little bit of remove. So something like The Grapes of Wrath, which we all have preconceptions of, it's Henry Fonda or it's Gary Sinise, whatever. Well, you know, what if we told it differently?
Sure.
You know, and so that was kind of Eric and I's initial concept of it, is to tell a parallel story, a mixed race Jode family, and then MJoy's expertise on casting. You know, we were able to put together an American family. That humanized that story and shook it up and shattered it, and for a lot of people will be the first time they saw that play, which is kind of amazing.
Sure,
but
it's something that they were made to read in high school, freshman,
right,
or sophomore
exactly.
year.
Exactly. You know, I think what we do is we actually sell love in the form of theater.
He's so noble over here.
But it's true.
But
yeah. No.
You know, but you know, people are hurting. You know,
yeah.
And you know, it breaks my heart every morning to get on Facebook or see a friend of mine who is, you know, had a bad encounter with the police or is terrified to get stopped and whatnot. And you try to think, what can you do? And so to put together this amazing cast is literally the least mm-hmm. that I can do as a citizen.
Some, right. So empathy, you know, you can't impose empathy, but you can hopefully open someone's heart to it.
No. And that production had a gorgeous, Diego composed all the music. And I think his litmus test was if his girlfriend didn't cry, it didn't make the show. But you know, there is this phrase that they repeated at the end and the beginning, which was if not now, then when,
mm-hmm.
And I think that sums up what any great work of art should be. It should be immediate, and it should ask a question, and it should kind of pass the ball of responsibility to the audience and say, we can't get there by ourselves. We need you to come along with us. And I think that's definitively what live theater could maybe do best.
No, I agree. And especially because you're taking it in with other strangers, right?
Right.
And you're vulnerable to the mm-hmm. moment. And as long as, and because people come to the theater because they want to feel something, you know.
Right.
they do. And they may not always, it may be uncomfortable, but, you know, it may be uplifting or, you know, it may be something that changes them. So you have that opportunity every night. We are hanging out with the theater, the Gift Theater from Jefferson Park. What's the address again?
4802. North Milwaukee.
It's over by there. And we are talking to the cast members. We have Mr. Martel. Diego. I won't say it again. Diego J. And the casting director, MJoy, along with Michael Patrick Thornton, who is the co-founder and artistic director of the Gift Theater. More stories. We want to get some stories about how the run went when we come back after the news. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I am joined by the cast of, some of the cast of The Grapes of Wrath. They just wrapped up their run at the Gift Theater. Joining me is the co-founder and artistic director, Michael Patrick Thornton. And we also have MJ,
MJoy.
I know I got it wrong. I knew because I combined. I did what I did right there. MJoy, who is the casting director. MJ, yeah. Can I separate you two? F. Diego, could you?
Yeah, we're back.
You got it.
Jay, Diego, and Martel also join us. And so let me tell me who should I? What? I don't. What? How was the run? First of all, Diego, how was the run?
The run was great.
I saw the most of it.
If you're gonna ask anybody, it's probably gonna be me.
See how I knew? I was drawn.
You felt it.
Yes.
You didn't leave the stage ever.
I did not leave the stage except for like the last 10 minutes of the play.
And you were out during the first 15 minutes pre-show as the audience is coming in.
Yeah.
What kind of pre-show were you doing?
Playing some Dust Bowl carols.
Yes.
Dust Bowl carols.
Yes. Yeah. I love when they come around to the door to door with the Dust Bowl carols.
Can someone open my can of peaches?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let me get it out of my hobo bindle.
The dog's not looking too good.
Or it's looking great because I'm super hungry.
Kind of fatten that dog up. So you do some of the pre-show Dust Bowl carols.
And I watch the show. Like, that's my role as the narrator. I'm the storyteller. I'm kind of telling the in-betweens of what's happening in this journey. But I'm also watching the show to sort of tell the audience, watch this part. This is kind of give that sort of subtle. I'm watching. Mm-hmm. You watch, too. Mm-hmm. And so I saw everything. I saw the few times because our man Jay here chose to portray Uncle John as a blind gentleman. Jay ran into some things on the set.
That
just
makes
periodically.
Sense.
Like, stuff happened.
We'll
say stuff happened.
A woman, I don't think I told you guys this, a woman dropped her sitting right on the floor. A woman dropped her water bottle. It rolled on the stage.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty. And like, if that were me and my water bottle rolls on stage, it's gone. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, maybe they'll kick it back to me. Maybe that water bottle's just in this scene now. And it was during Grandpa's funeral scene, so it was
great.
So instead of having that sort of like it's gone attitude, she's like, I'll get it.
And
she gets up. And not in the way that you might get up with, like, a sense of urgency. Like, you don't want to disrupt the play.
Attention. You don't want to draw attention.
Like, let me walk over to it. Let me, like, get a power stance so that I can really bend down and, like, grab it.
No.
And I could see. I could see Michael. I could see him just kind of like, Grandpa's dead. Oops, let me get around this lady.
Oh, no.
See, this is all the good stuff that I missed. And I missed so much.
And I'm watching this
blind.
From up on a platform far away, like, oh no, what's going to happen? I can't do anything.
What are they
going to
do about that?
I can't be like, look out.
He's having Usher run in and tackle her.
She retrieved her water bottle and made her way back to her seat, but it was definitely like...
Yeah, you got to let that water bottle go.
Yeah.
Was it reference. Gin? Why was it so important that she got the water bottle back?
I mean, jeez. By the way that she got up to get it, you could tell that it wasn't terribly important.
Sure. Oh.
It was more like the way you get up to get something that's like, I probably shouldn't leave that there. Let me get up.
Yeah. Probably had to take some medicine later.
Jay, what was harder, doing the fight sequence in Richard III or climbing up that ladder in Grapes of Wrath?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, it was Grapes of Wrath. That I had to, at the end of the... Towards the end of the play, you know, there's a young girl gives birth to a stillborn baby, and I'm tasked with taking this baby and burying it. I don't bury it. I put it into a river. But I had this long...
It's not a comedy.
Spoiler.
No, yeah spoiler.
It's a barrel of laughs.
Remember?
So I have this long cross across stage, and I had to climb up this ladder to this second story platform, and then there's no real railing on the platform, and I have to walk a number of feet to a wall blind.
In the dark a little bit?
Yeah.
Completely in the dark. My eyes were shut for the entire performance.
Yeah.
And that was a really sort of scary but also like incredibly liberating moment. The technical element we had during that part of the show is just after this horrible thunderstorm, so all I could hear is just the rain. And sometimes the odd audience member weeping.
Yeah.
So it was, it really did become like this very quietly holy moment, sure. And also somewhat of a horrifying one. But yeah,
no doubt. I mean, do you like count your steps or just figure this is how far I went last time?
You know, I was talking to Mike the other night at our closing party, and I was saying like it really is some daredevil type stuff. Like right. I used a cane during the show, and you really do start to develop this sure. sonar.
Right.
And I'm legally blind in real life, so I also have some unique ways of navigating my world. But you do really develop in that complete darkness this insane sort of sonar sense that sort of pings you around. Mm-hmm. And you do start to get this weird like geographical layout in your head. Your mind, after a certain amount of time, I found like a few weeks into the run, once things really started to deepen, that your mind is almost giving you a weird outline geography in sort of your imagination.
Right, especially when you're going through rehearsals and going through it over and over again and yeah. trying to find... Are you finding different moments every... I mean, that's the goal, isn't it? Is what's going to happen tonight? I was listening to an interview before with another theater group with Justin Kaufman, and they were talking about, you know, it's that trick of, you know how it's going to end, but you need to play... You need to, you know, be there as though you don't.
Well, I think, yeah. You have to... You're absolutely right. And I think it's that idea of just being open to... Whatever happens is going to happen.
Right.
And I'm going to be in service to what is happening as opposed to any preconceived ideas
right.
I
now
have.
Now I do this. Now I do this.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah. That, I mean, that's tricky. Martel, how about yourself? What were some of your moments?
See, I went on as an understudy for the last 2 weeks of the run. Mm-hmm. I was understudying the actor playing Tom. So
not a small role.
yeah. Much like Diego, I was on stage for a lot of the play. He was there for more than I was, but I was out there a lot.
I'm there the whole time and a little bit before.
He's still seeing it in his sleep.
But going on as an understudy, it was really surreal because I had seen the show so much, and I had just been with it was me and my script, and I recorded all my lines and everybody's cue lines for me. So I had been listening to that for mm-hmm. so long that actually being in the show. Was this weird kind of like bizarro world.
Oh, stepping into it.
Scenario where all these words, yeah, I've heard these words before, but never from this perspective.
Now they're yours.
So I got to do the show 8 times, and every time I was surprised by something else because I would actually see something that I hadn't noticed before or something just kind of vibe with me that night that it hadn't the night before. Or, it was like one of the last weekend I like broke the ladder when I was walking up in like you
that
know
was
sometimes
you?
Stuff like that. Yeah, that was me.
I watched it happen. That I was heard me. The crack and I was no. like Martel broke that ladder.
And I wasn't even cool about it at all. Like I broke it, heard it, looked down and said, "Oop, yep, that's broke," and kept rolling.
No heads up to anybody. Should have had that lady with the water bottle go over and do something about that. Man. Just leave that there for the next person.
Yeah, I was like, that we happened. Got like 10 minutes left. It'd be all right.
And Michael, how big is the theater? This is an intimate theater. We haven't even talked about that
part of
this.
We're the most intimate equity theater in the city of Chicago. So the gift is 45 seats.
It's 45. I said 35 earlier, but it's 45 seats.
45 seats, yeah.
And how is it, is it all, what is it, how is it set up? Or do you change that depending on the production?
We have changed it. Yeah, I mean, we've had audience on an alley configuration on both sides of the stage for our production of Good for Otto. We've experimented with levels in that play. In this play, Diego was up very high on this bridge-like level. For the most part, the audience has stayed on one wall of the theater. You know, depending on which critic you talk to, it's either a shoebox or a bowling alley. But, you know, we call it church.
So, see that? That makes sense to me completely. We are talking to the cast of The Grapes of Wrath. We have Martel, Diego, Jay, and we also have the casting director, M. Joy. I haven't even asked you about casting this, as Michael had mentioned a little bit earlier about rounding out this cast and having it reflective in a new way for the way perhaps people hadn't seen The Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, Erica and Mike really had... a vision to update it while still actually making it dramaturgically correct. So we were working hand in hand with Patrick, our dramaturg, who we can justify every single person cast in the show being on that stage in that time period.
Okay.
These are the people who would have been in these regions at that time. So the fact that this is the first, one of the only times I've ever heard of this being done with this production is... a little ridiculous, actually. Right. That it's 2016, yeah. And this play has been around for a long time.
MJ is saying, what took you so long?
But yeah. But yes,
and thankfully
am.
You.
But yes. I actually am. And it, you know, I remember Martel's audition for Tom, and all the auditions for Tom were black men, and those lines about police brutality and those lines about you know, they're gonna break us. Every single actor came in and broke our hearts because of who was speaking the words. Because all of a sudden, it was a show that is a 2016 mm-hmm. production of Grapes of Wrath, even though we did set it when it was set. And I think that there's major power in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget when I got that email to come in and audition. I read who I was reading for, and I'm not gonna lie, I thought in my head, like, yeah, okay. you want me to read for Tom? Like, in my mind, this never happens. Even though I knew I was actually going in for it, it was so alien to me. And then here I am now, 8 shows afterwards, I've actually did it. But in retrospect, that's so sad.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just got to add, too, like, when the big scene that MJ was referring to, there's a scene in a play where Tom sort of finally loses his cool, and he's talking to his mother, and he is talking about this police brutality and how his people are always being beaten down, and they, you know, they're always fighting this fight. And having two black actors play that scene just gave this scene a level of power that you could feel the audience every single night of the show. Once we got to those moments, you could feel them all sort of tense up. You could feel people holding their breath. Mm-hmm. I mean, the energy in the room just completely shifted on a dime. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no way you would have had that with two white actors in those roles. No, there's just no way.
And I mean, in that show, it for me at least, it touched on the idea that this oppression is systematic. Mm-hmm. It's not just police. Mm-hmm. It's not just like some invisible, like the man. It's this, the whole system was turned against a specific group of people from the beginning. I mean, the show starts, Tom comes home and finds out that his family's been booted out of the house that they had been living in for generations because the bank didn't want them there anymore because they couldn't afford it. And then he finds out that they're at their uncle's house, and things just progressively get worse, but it's never just one person doing it. It is like the entire environment and the situation is just stacked against them, and it's awful, and it's so true today, just in
so
different
many people.
Just different circumstances and different specifics, but it's still the case, which is really, really heartbreaking.
And I mean, just this kind of metaphor of, like, you know, finding the picture of my grandpa, who was a police officer in the vestibule of this theater where we're telling that story. You know, when I read that line in the play about whoever there's a cop beaten up on, it went right through me. You know, I come from a family of police. I've come from 3 generations. Most of the men in my family are police officers. You know, we're talking about 200 years of service for the city of Chicago.
Sure.
And the kind of egregiousness that's going on, you know, it is nowhere near the solar system of any of their characters, you know, and to have them standing up, standing ovations for this play, you know, to bring a conversation together is kind of a rare moment and a rare opportunity in the theater. Hopefully it nudges the trajectory of us all towards, you know, a better city and a better tomorrow.
Well, and that's the goal of the GIFT Theater, is to keep telling stories that are as impactful as the Grapes of Wrath. We are doing a little bit of a rap party for the cast members. And there
and
are people.
Guy.
And
that guy.
I know.
That
they
that
can't,
guy.
They can't hear us, unfortunately, on Michigan Avenue. Oh. So I if they had their app, oh, maybe they're listening to you right now. That would be
maybe
helpful.
Maybe they're following Diego on Twitter. Maybe.
that's a different show. They're listening to a different show. Maybe.
Is she trying to give you her number, Martel?
More with our new friends. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN, and the people outside. We're not inviting them in, though. Someday I really got to record the off-air conversations, because they're so much fun. But then I would worry people would know I was recording them, and then they wouldn't be as... Yeah, it would not be the same at all.
Right, because no one records our conversations in this country.
I know. What are you talking about? What? That's why I just save it. I don't talk all day long until I come here. My family finds me very quiet. They find it hard to believe I have this job. You have some great productions coming up very soon as well.
We do. So we've
at the Gift Theater, by the way, for those of you just joining us.
Yes. So the Gift has just had its 15th anniversary season. We have one more show coming up in the anniversary season called A Life Extraordinary, which is a world premiere by Melissa Ross. But we've done everything you're not supposed to do, right?
Okay.
Like we've put a theater in an untested neighborhood. We made the theater Equity. We've done new plays.
Explain to people who don't know when they hear the word Equity.
It's union.
Okay.
Just that when I say Equity,
is it because of the neighborhood? gotta be union in Jefferson Park.
Yeah, and you can't see because this is radio. But I'm in a wheelchair right now because I got very sick in 2003 in a spinal stroke, and it was only because of my Actors Equity insurance that, you know, we didn't have to sell my parents' house, and it picked up an exorbitant amount of money. And so I run an ensemble theater, so the people who work for me should have the exact same opportunities that I do. So we're rare like that. There's theaters that will encourage their ensemble to not go Equity too soon. And, you know, if our ensemble members say, I'd like to go, I'd like to join the union, get insurance, we do whatever we can to do that. It makes shows very expensive. So we've done three back-to-back-to-back insanely ambitious shows. We had Good for Otto, which had 15 people. We had Richard III, which had 16 people.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And
right.
Then Grapes had 19.
Large
right?
cast. Gift. Yeah.
And so, you know, you're just never supposed to do that. but we did, and it was great, and it all worked out. But next year is dedicated to Epic Intimacy.
Epic Intimacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have three world premieres, all written by women. Mona Mansour, Claire Keitchel, and Janine Neighbors are the three playwrights. And I'm co-directing one with Jessica Thebus, but all the directors are women, too. So we had all world premieres by men last year, and now... No, we compliment the other side of the coin with all world premieres by women.
Well, in the theater community in Chicago, I know there's been some a few headlines for other theaters where there have been issues. Is that something?
It did play a role. Yeah. I mean, not to get ahead of your question.
Yeah, but, no.
You know, I mean, what happened at Profiles was disgusting and offensive and awful and deplorable. And as a white guy who runs a storefront ensemble theater, I have an extra responsibility to make sure that the women who work there feel extra protected, especially when it's an ensemble that runs on the emotional vulnerability and honesty in our acting, which requires kind of a level of trust that was so decimated by what happened at that place. So absolutely, it in some ways that informed the season to say... we're putting our women forward, and we're going to show you that storefronts can be run with grace and dignity,
mm-hmm.
And inclusion, and access. And we're better off that theater's gone.
Well, I came to that story later because in Chicago there have been controversies at not just Profiles, but at various improv organizations as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've actually invited some of those folks on the show to talk about it. You know, and I've tried to get both sides, but it becomes a hard conversation, I think. People get their stand their battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. So, but I think the thing is to keep showing up the way you do, and to keep providing opportunities to tell stories, to have artists find a place that is, as you said, safe, where they can grow. So you have the ability to buy a membership subscription.
We do. We really are buoyed by our subscribers. We lost 3 or 4 subscribers this year, and this was hysterical.
Do you track your subscribers? Do you like call them and go, what happened?
Of course we do.
Yeah.
Of course we do.
Okay.
And they said, we love you. We're so glad you're in the neighborhood. We just were hoping for some more new plays.
Oh, they didn't want...
We had Richard III and Grapes of Wrath. And I said, can I quote you on that? Because you just said the opposite of what every artistic director in the country hears, right? Which is, why are you doing new plays? We want to hear,
I don't know these stories. Why
exactly. But they ended up resubscribing anyway.
And did they end up seeing the productions, the Grapes of Wrath? And
I believe they did, yeah.
Do you have a chance to talk to audience? Do you hang out and talk to audience members after the show, or...?
Yeah, I don't really have a choice. the way it's all set up, like, I come out of the dressing room and the lobby's right there, And if people are still standing there, then we're going to have an interaction.
They'll chat you up, yeah.
Some people have, like, some people really like it, and some people, you could see the veil pulled away from their eyes. You can see, I read this in high school, I saw it a bunch, I heard about it a bunch at Steppenwolf, but this version is really, really says something today. And that's, I think, the thing that I am most proud about this show. Like, I do lots of shows in this town, and I'm always happy to do everything I jump into, but, like, as an artist, as an actor, it means something to have a strong social commentary in the story that you're telling, to be relevant in a way that is thought-provoking,
right,
that is the same and yet so different.
And there's always many nights you're leaving the theater and you have audience members who are waiting outside, waiting to speak. And this was one of those shows that on many nights, the audience members were still so upset that speaking wasn't really an option.
Yeah. Oh, sort of the somber mood when you're leaving. Well, I look forward to, and I'm coming. We should all go to thegiftheater.org to get information about the upcoming productions and the opportunity to get a subscription. I want to thank you so much for finally, I'm so glad that I finally invited you onto the show, is what I mean.
Oh, this is great. Thanks for letting us have a little cast party.
We will do it again. Cheers. No, awesome. My pleasure. Great. And thank you to Italy for kicking in the wonderful tray, and our friend David, who was the cheese and meat technician who sent over all that
very well.
And the olives.
And he techniqued it very well. Yeah,
cheese and meat technician? What do you need to get that job? Is that postgraduate work for that job?
I believe it was. Just a little bit. Does anyone want to share their Twitter handles before we run off? I know that, was it F. Diego? No.
One more for the road. No. I'm gonna say it right.
Okay.
I think. It's at Dieguito Sol. That's at DIEGITOSOL. Bam.
Okay. But no bam.
Oh, I'm not on social media. It's the devil.
Okay. Fair enough.
You can follow me at Mr. Martel. That's Mr. spelled out. And Martel, M-A-R-T-E-L, with a little underscore in between.
I spelled your name wrong. I apologize for that already.
It's all
Joy?
Good.
And I'm at Joy of M. That's J-O-Y-O-F-E-M.
Wonderful. Michael?
Thornton MPT.
And the theater has their own Twitter as well?
We do. The Gift Theater.
Excellent. I look forward to seeing you guys again.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, of course.